I'm going to read a little bit in a moment of the Gospel of Matthew, but as we prepare to listen to that reading, I want to set the scene for you, particularly any of you who were not here last Sunday when, I believe, Joel focused on the preceding verses in Matthew. Now, if you were here and if you were listening, you know that at this point in the story, Jesus and the disciples are out on the road together. They spent a lot of time on the road. They were preaching and teaching and feeding and healing, and they were challenging people by telling them that the kingdom of heaven had drawn near and was even then upon them, the kingdom of heaven. And the people, they're just wondering, who is this Jesus? Who Jesus is? Maybe Elijah, the prophet, or Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets, they thought, or maybe John the Baptist, who'd somehow been raised from the dead and was back at work among the people. All kinds of possibilities were being floated by people around Jesus. But Jesus then asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" For a time, I'm imagining everything went silent as words started forming in the minds of Jesus' followers. Finally, Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for my Father himself has revealed this to you." Now, reading on in Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 21. "From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Jesus began to show Peter and the other disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering and be killed, and on the third day be raised. He began to show them Matthew says. Now, to be honest, we don't know what that means exactly. Matthew did not say that Jesus began to tell them, but rather he started to show them. So it had to involve something, don't you think, more than speech? I think he must have done something physical, Jesus, like turning in the direction of Jerusalem and heading off in that way while he's talking. Maybe pantomiming, suffering, and dying. Maybe even being resurrected somehow, showing the disciples. Whatever it was, it's not spelled out by Matthew. It's left to our imaginations. But whatever he did that day, we know that it moved Peter profoundly and physically. We know this because we're told by Matthew that Peter took Jesus. He took Jesus aside and he rebuked him. Now, I picture this strong-armed fisherman, you know, jumping up in front of Jesus, grabbing him and pushing him back, pushing him off the road while declaring, no, this will never happen to you, Lord. It's a kind of an image, don't you think, of a follower asserting authority over a leader, taking control or trying to take control. It's kind of a coup. But Jesus, he will have none of it. Not a bit. Turning away from Peter, he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. Standing in my way, behind me, Peter." Jesus had some place to go, somewhere that he knew he must go. "I must go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and be raised." And he would not allow anyone to hinder him as he went his way. Peter tried, putting up some resistance. So Jesus put Peter in his place, put him behind Jesus. A disciple's proper place, we are shown, is behind Jesus. Now, disciple is a word many of us may use in describing ourselves. Disciple. So let me ask you now, are you behind Jesus? Are you letting Jesus lead you? Are you accepting his direction? Are you listening consciously for his voice amid all the voices coming at us, for his call, for his instruction? Are you responding to Jesus faithfully and following Jesus as he goes where he goes? Or are you jumping up in front of him and blocking his way? Are you preventing him from proceeding on the path he's chosen, hindering him from taking you where he wants and needs you to go? Are you perhaps saying things like, "No, wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. How about letting me lead? I know where we need to go. I know where we ought to be heading, Jesus. And I know how to get us there without all this suffering and conflict and effort. My God, who wants that? Who needs that? Not you, Jesus. Not us. Let me lead, Jesus. Let me take the wheel. I know a better road to steer us down than the one that you're going down. I know a smoother road and an easier way that we can go than the one that you're proposing. Jesus, okay, let me lead. Maybe like Peter, we have at times gotten up in front of Jesus to sort of block the way, to turn him from a course that he has set, that he's on. Or maybe we're some of us considering it now in light of where he seems to be leading you personally, for instance. Not so sure about that, Jesus. Or where it looks like he is taking this community of faith in its mission and life. Maybe we're considering getting in the way. Well, friends, I have a hunch that our Lord is not likely to allow anyone to hinder him for long. He certainly didn't let Peter, did he? Get behind me, he said with that voice of command, get behind me. And you can be sure that's just where Peter went. Get behind me. He calls out to us now, this day, behind me, commanding and urging us as well. And follow me, he says. Follow your Lord. Honestly, friend, are you man or woman or child enough to refuse that command from Jesus? Really? He has authority. He has authority, and he is faithful to us and wise and so full of love, and he is so trustworthy, like no one. No one else in this whole world. Why would we ever refuse our Lord? Get behind me and follow. Well, at any rate, soon enough that day, Jesus was on his way. He'd made it pretty clear that while it was a way that would cost him dearly, it would in the end bring him into life, into resurrection life, life in all fullness, life in comparison to which the suffering would be as nothing. And for everyone who follows him, he said it would be the same. Even as they traveled that way together, in spite of the challenges and the hardships and the suffering that they would face, Jesus' disciples would sense the quality of that rich, full resurrection life. They would sense it in the life that they were sharing together on the road with Jesus. They would sense it in the pleasure that they would feel being with Jesus, their Lord, in the satisfaction that they'd feel while helping him with his work, in the reassurance that they would feel whenever they shared a meal or prayed with him, in the consolation that would come when they suffered along with him and for his sake, and in the joy that they would feel while worshiping their living Lord. They would sense this as they followed. And you and I, don't we sense it too now and then, somewhere along the way of our life and faith as disciples? Don't we sense it? Satisfaction, reassurance, consolation, hope, and joy. In this world, Jesus tells us, true, you have tribulation, images of the hurricane in Texas, images of the conflicts that are in this community, in our lives, in our homes. Tribulation, Jesus says indeed, but he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Come along, he says, and come over the world with me. His disciples sense, they know as they go, that they are following their master, not simply into suffering, but into life, and that is abundant life. They know as they go that as long as they are following him, not ignoring him, not hindering him, but following him, as long as they're behind him, they know there is life in abundance, and they are sharing it even now. So are you behind him, friends? Are you following Jesus, your Lord, our Lord? And are you staying out of the way, and are you in his way? Well, friends, here at Towson Presbyterian, it seems to me, I've been here a time or two before, and I've been with you, some of you at least, along the way. It seems to me that you're on your way indeed to something new and something good and something rich. I sense your Lord is taking you where he wants you to go, to become along with Rob and with Joel and with one another what he intends for you to become, to do what God needs you to do for his sake in this special community. I sense that you're energized and grateful and hopeful as you engage with Christ's help in your vigorous ministry. Maybe you're becoming those angels that Jesus promised he'd bring with him one day. It's a kind of a nice image. I like to think about that. You're not angels yet. Well, maybe some of you are, but you're becoming. And Jesus is a most capable, winsome, and loving leader for you. So I don't doubt but that one day I'm going to see all of you in that light that Jesus spoke of, all of you as angels. I have reason to hope that, anyhow. So do you, all of you. Finally, as we prepare to move toward celebrating the sacrament of Lord's Supper, I want to circle back to the epistle lesson, and I'd like to let us hear once again Paul's good guidance, God's life-giving counsel for disciples like us. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor to one another. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and extend hospitality to all. As those to whom Christ has certainly extended rich, deep hospitality. Friends, you and I have much to celebrate, much to receive, and much to offer as we follow in his way. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.